Welcome to Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. Joining me today is Stephanie Mullen, who's the Director of Partnerships from the Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking. As you can tell by where she works, our topic today is going to be modern slavery and human trafficking. Stephanie, first, thank you for joining us.
Adam, thank you for having me today.
So first, can you give everyone an overall perspective, some of the figures on the size and scope of this problem? I think many people are often surprised by how large a problem it really is.
Yes, I'd be happy to. When we're looking at the numbers, we estimate about 14 to 17,000 men and women are trafficked into the U.S. annually, and an estimation of about 61,000 people are enslaved domestically, so that's domestic-born individuals, and that's both for labor and sex trafficking. What we know is it's about $150 billion business. It's one of the largest growing businesses and crimes in the United States.
Wow. And then globally, I think I've seen just the most recent numbers of something like 40 million people are caught up in trafficking and modern slavery.
Yeah, that's correct. I think it's, you know, even closer to 45.
Many people tend to focus on the sex trafficking aspect, but it's a much bigger issue than that, correct?
That is correct. In fact, if you think about just every job that's out there, it's all, you know, labor trafficking is quite broad. If there is a job that an individual can be trafficked into, if you think of labor exploitation, it's kind of the far end of that as human trafficking. A person can be exploited to do many different jobs and careers, and that's what we have found with our own statistics over the last 19 years in serving both labor and sex trafficking victims, that about 70% of the clients we serve are labor trafficking, and the type of industries really run the gamut.
So can you give us some examples of some that are most likely to have this risk within their supply chain?
Well, we are, when it comes to supply chain, factory workers, there's a lot of work there, but there's also just different industries such as hotels and restaurants, entertainment industries. What we are finding right now in the United States is domestic care workers is one of the largest growth. So individuals that may be working in someone's home, domestic care, they may be an au pair, also working within facilities such as in-home care workers for the elderly or disabled is one of the largest growing. Of course, our agriculture throughout the United States is one of the ways that individuals can be brought in. We see specifically for the different B visas and J visas that individuals may come into our country for an opportunity and then human trafficking can occur, as well as domestic individuals born in the United States being wrapped up in both labor and sex trafficking.
So for these people who've come in from outside the country, they may have come in for, you know, one purpose, whether it's, you know, for defined time to work in agriculture or, you know, I know there's been plenty of cases where people brought in as nurses, but basically, just to recap, and correct me if I'm wrong, is their passport gets taken away, they're forced into situations where they can't leave, their money gets taken from them, they really have no option but to do what the traffickers tell them, correct?
Correct. In fact, a lot of times recruiters may charge them a fee to come into our country. So all of the costs for traveling into the country, also securing their documentation, filing all of that paperwork will have a cost. And that creates indentured servitude. And even if it isn't the trafficker who is specifically holding that over them, the trafficker knows that the individual that came into our country may have borrowed a lot of money in order to pay their recruitment fees and pay for their travel here, and that's another vulnerability for them and, you know, why they're in that situation. So they may use that knowledge against them. And as you've mentioned, many individuals coming into our country, they don't know what the laws are in our country, and they may be very different. So traffickers are able to use force, fraud, and coercion, and really create a fear that an individual doesn't have rights in our country, government is not going to support them, they'll be arrested and treated very poorly. They don't know it's illegal for their documents to be taken from them. So it's one of the things that the Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking, we do a lot of outreach and education to foreign national populations about what their rights are.
All right. Finally, what should someone do if, you know, a compliance officer discovers what looks like there is some human trafficking or modern slavery that, you know, is occurring, that there's people who, say, for example, are working in the organization or in their supply chain that they think are caught up in this? What are some of the things that they can do?
We like to encourage businesses to create worker-informed spaces where workers are able to share their voice and their experience of working in an environment in a way that is safe. And that really helps the employers and the auditors to know, you know, what's going on in their factories. Sometimes that might be also working with the Department of Labor to see some of those best practices. If there isn't an internal protocol for your businesses, one of the resources that you can share is a national human trafficking hotline, which is 1-888-37-37-888. So it's a palindrome, 888-37-37-888. And the National Human Trafficking Hotline is a resource available for individuals to call in and ask questions if what they see may be human trafficking, provide a tip, as well as an individual who is looking for resources. And then that hotline will direct individuals to the resource in their community. So the Coalition to Abolish Slavery and Trafficking, we serve both labor and sex trafficking victims in Los Angeles County. We actually have our own hotline as well, which the materials that are distributed in LA and California have our hotline number, but Polaris Project, the National Human Trafficking Hotline, will also route the calls they receive in Los Angeles County to us. And then for CAST, when we receive a call, maybe it's an emergency situation from a law enforcement officer or a hospital, we actually show up within 30 minutes to an hour with a caseworker and a lawyer to immediately assess that individual's needs.
Great. Great to know. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for spending the time with us and for the work you're doing. Thank all of you for listening. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics saying thank you for being a part of Compliance Perspectives.